Good afternoon, folks, and welcome. It's time to break free. I will be your host for the hour, David Matthew Rock, coming to you live from the constitutional carry state of Arizona via the Patriot broadcast from the trenches, 89.5 FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, Hal Apino's channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and many more micro-broadcasts and webcasts from around the world. Take the time to check out the number one source for Patriot news on the web at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. If you'd like to contact me via email, I can be reached at DavidMatthewRock@gmail.com. This is a live call-in program. Come on up and share your thoughts and experiences. Unlike the mainstream media, listener participation is appreciated. The call-in number is 641-715-3610. Once connected, you'll be asked for the conference room number, which is 220029 in the pound sign. Hit star 6 to unmute. It is 1:02 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time. It's 102 degrees in Casa Grande, Arizona, sunny with 18% humidity. If you're stupid enough to protest in support of a gay Jew pedophile advocate speaking at Berkeley who identifies as an alt-right conservative, should I really care if you get beat down by the fake Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Black Bloc conglomerate? Really? Do we have any skin in that game? I think not. We will get into it as soon as we return from these messages from our sponsors.
Calling all the clans together. Calling all the clans together. Calling all the clans together. Brothers come a running. Calling south and north together. Calling west and east together. Calling all the clan together. Brother, come running. Can't afford to be a bit of sleeping. Can't afford to be a bit of sleeping. Can't you see the reaper reaping? Brothers come a running. Never mind the shells are flying. Never mind the dead and dying. Can't you hear the piper piping? Brother come a running. Come a running fast. Come a running hard. Running for all you worth. Come a running through the gates of hell itself and let the devil take the hindmost.
We're gonna be
calling all the clan together. Calling all the clan together.
Calling all the clan together.
Brothers come running.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together, even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT,
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5
Micro FM,
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
It's time to break free, live on PBFTT, August 30th, 2017. I'm your host, David Matthew Rock. Thank you for joining me this afternoon. Okay, so a good deal of this violence that we're seeing going on at Berkeley revolves directly around this character named Milo Yiannopoulos. His name came up on Henry's broadcast yesterday. So I decided to look a little deeper into this character, and because I don't really pay any attention to the alt-right, I guess this slipped by. So we're going to get right into an article. It's posted at From the Trenches, worldreport.com. It's coming from USA Today, and it was published February 21st, 2017. It's titled, Milo Yiannopoulos Resigns from Breitbart Over Child Sex Comments. Let's get right into it. Okay. Milo Yiannopoulos resigned from Breitbart News, the far-right website where he was a top editor, after a video surfaced. And mind you, this video will be up on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com if it's not up there already. It was an interview with Joe Rogan in something called the Drunken Peasant Podcast. So if you want to see it for yourself and hear these words coming out of this Milo Yiannopoulos character, it's available for you on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. The number one source for Patriot news on the web, mind you. Anyway, where were we? After a video surfaced in which the controversial figure appeared to condone sex between men and underage boys as young as 13. My employer, Breitbart News, has stood by me when others caved, Yiannopoulos said during a news conference Tuesday. They have allowed me to carry conservative and libertarian ideas to communities that would otherwise never had had them. I would be wrong to allow my poor choice of words to detract from my colleagues' important job, which is why I am resigning from Breitbart effective immediately. Yiannopoulos, 32, had been a tech editor for Breitbart News, leading Breitbart Tech since its launch in 2015. Milo Yiannopoulos' bold voice has sparked much-needed debate on important cultural topics confronting universities, the LGBTQ community, the press, and the tech industry. Breitbart News said in a statement, Milo notified us this morning of his decision to resign as an editor of Breitbart Tech, and we accepted his resignation. So that's interesting. 2015, that's when that Jason Kessler got his start. I wonder how many of these other alt-writers all manifested out of the ether in 2015. Seems like it might be a calculated response to what the Patriot community is doing. During the news conference, Yiannopoulos said he strongly opposes the sexual abuse of children, that he regrets his imprecise language. He tempered his apologies by attributing his comments to his own sexual abuse and gallows humor, while also blaming selective editing for the reaction to his comments. When I was 16, two men touched me in ways they should not have, Yiannopoulos said. One of those men was a priest. Yiannopoulos said while he hadn't viewed himself as a victim in the past, clearly I am one. In the years after what happened, I fell into alcohol and nihilistic partying, he said. Hold on. Who cares what he thinks about himself? He's a lying faggot piece of shit. Yiannopoulos said he was horrified that some got the impression that he was advocating sex with children and strongly stated that he abhors pedophilia. I don't believe sex with 13-year-olds is okay, he said. Well, when you watch that interview on the Drunken Podcast with Joe Rogan, you'll hear something quite to the contrary. To repeat, I do not support child abuse, he added. It's disgusting crime of which I have been personally a victim. But Yiannopoulos also said he reviewed the tapes that appeared a few days ago in the proper context, and I don't believe that they said what is being reported. Nonetheless, I do say some things on the tapes that I do not mean and which do not reflect my views. Yiannopoulos said he would not apologize for dealing with my life experiences in the way which I choose to. which is through humor and provocation. But he added he was sorry if his words hurt anyone, blah, blah, blah. I will never stop making jokes about taboo subjects, he continued. Much of what the alt-right star echoed the comments he made in Facebook post Monday. Yiannopoulos is known for sparking outrage with his provocative positions, but this latest controversy has cost him his job at Breitbart, as well as a lucrative book deal with Simon & Schuster as a speaking gig at this year's Conservative Political Action Conference. After careful consideration, Simon & Schuster and its Threshold Editions imprint have canceled publication of Dangerous by Milo Yiannopoulos, the publisher said in a statement Monday. That book has since been published as an update. Anyway, and Monday, American Conservative Union head Matt Schlapp, that's an interesting name, released a statement saying CPAC is a constructive forum of controversies and disagreements among conservatives. However, there is no disagreement among our attendees on the evil of sexual abuse of children. In the video, which appears to be a recording of an interview with Yiannopoulos during a Drunken Peasants podcast featuring comedian Joe Rogan, Yiannopoulos, a gay man, defends relationships between older men and teen boys. In the homosexual world, particularly some of those relationships between younger boys and older men are sort of coming-of-age relationships, said Yiannopoulos. Those older men help the young boys to discover who they are and give them security and safety and provide them with love. One of those hosts said what Yiannopoulos advocated reminded him of sexual abuse scandal among Catholic priests. Do we have somebody want to come up for a second? And do you know what I'm grateful for? And do you know what I'm grateful for, Father Michael? Yiannopoulos replied. A self-described supervillain, much of the British-born Yiannopoulos celebrity is fueled by his incendiary assaults on political correctness. For example, he started the hashtag feminist cancer and called rape culture fake. Such statements have made the Antifa, or I don't know how to pronounce that word. It's like anathema to large groups of college students. The provocateur was met with angry protests at several stops along his recent campus speaking tour, including a violent one at the University of California, Berkeley, that led to his appearance being canceled. So, yeah, when you remember seeing those videos of people fist fighting and all that crazy shit going on at Berkeley, the alt-righters were in support of this Milo Yiannopoulos character. So there's that for that article. And now we're going to switch over to another article posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion. This one's coming from the Los Angeles Times. It was posted today, and it's titled, After Antifa Violence, Berkeley Debates Whether Milo Yiannopoulos and Other Conservatives Are Welcome. Violence over this weekend by left-wing Antifa activists in Berkeley has opened up another chapter in the debate at the birthplace of the free speech movement over UC Berkeley's plan to host several conservative firebrands next month. University officials have vowed to allow speakers, including conservative provocateur Milo Yiannopoulos, to come even under the threat of violence, which has occurred at Berkeley and other universities earlier this year. And I'll say it again, if you're stupid enough to protest in support of a gay, Jew, pedophile advocate, should I really care what happens to you? Should I even align with you? Should I even want to be tied with you at all? I don't think so. University officials have vowed to allow speakers, including, oh no, I said that already. Some city leaders are becoming increasingly wary, fearing a repeat of Sunday's clashes in which the protesters wearing black with their faces covered attacked a small showing of protesters of President Trump and others they accused. sometimes inaccurately, of being white supremacists or Nazis. Now, how could you possibly be a white supremacist or a Nazi and support Trump? Explain that to me. We don't want the moral, psychological, and fiscal expense of having these agents of hate coming to our town, said Berkeley City Councilman Ben Bartlett. We know the contest of ideas is at the very heart of freedom, but at the same time, when the ideas are certain to cause bloodshed, I'm inclined to err on the side of protecting the population, and I say that with a heavy heart. You lying son of a bitch. Councilwoman Cheryl Davila also opposed the appearance of the conservative speaker. Is he really conservative? A gay Jew, pedophile, advocate, provocateur? Is he really conservative? Give me a break. Adding, I don't appreciate that there are racists coming to UC Berkeley to spew hate. The standoff comes as UC Berkeley has been grappling for the last year on how to handle controversial conservative speakers who draw fierce protests in the liberal enclave. In February, Unopolis campus speaking engagement was canceled when violent protests broke out on the campus in the city, resulting in extensive property damage. The university called off a planned event with the conservative author Ann Coulter and another fake patriot, mind you, and the organizations that invited her later sued the school, accusing it of trying to restrict conservative speech. Berkeley's new chancellor, Carol Christ, has been outspoken about what she sees as the university's need to give a forum to controversial voices. On Tuesday, UC spokesman Dan Mogiloff said the school expects to get a list of confirmed speakers this week and move forward. The university doesn't have the right and ability to interfere with their invitations based on the attitudes of speakers, Mogiloff said. We're doing what we can to support an academic mission to provide a wide view of opinions and perspectives, he said. Yeah, well, guess what? They're never going to put anybody like us at UC Berkeley now, are they? For those who choose the path of violence and confrontation, we will meet them head on. Really, it seems like the cops are just standing off on the sideline letting it happen. Just a big old shit show for everybody to watch, right? Unopolis confirmed in a text message to the Times that he would participate in a Free Speech Week gathering from September 24th through 27th at UC Berkeley's Sproul Plaza, adding in an interview with TMZ that other speakers will be confirmed on our own timeline. I want everybody to protest on both sides, but you have to do it peacefully, he said. Sounds like they're setting up for another fight, for another clown shoe shit show, huh? You have to do it with speech, not violence. As you soon as you lay a hand on someone, thank you, LA Times. As you soon as you lay a hand on someone else or start destroying someone else's property, you become a problem. Well, we all know what's going to happen. It's what's happening at all of these events. The Antifa, Black Lives Matter, Black Bloc conglomerate is going to show up, and they're going to bring baseball bats and mace and pepper spray and every other thing, and the cops are just going to stand off to the side to let it brew, to have a nice filming event to scare the peasants on television and to convince us probably to give up our free speech. I tell you what, that ain't ever going to happen. Former Trump advisor and Breitbart chairman Stephen K. Bannon and Coulter have reportedly been invited to attend. A spokesman for the Berkeley Patriot, the registered student organization hosting the event, declined to confirm the speakers who have been invited or confirmed for the Free Speech Week. Shouldn't every day be free speech day? Shouldn't every hour be free speech hour? Come on now. We are reaching out to relative political figures from both sides of the aisle to ensure all voices are heard. Bullshit. They're never going to include our voices. In fact, Google's trying to silence us now, aren't they? As Berkeley Patriot spokesman Bryce Casamoto said Berkeley Patriot spokesman Bryce Casamoto. The university is having the Berkeley Patriot cover basic security costs directly related to the events as per their interim event policy. Also, former Breitbart writer and editor of the Daily Wire website, Ben Shapiro, oy vey, confirmed on Twitter on Tuesday that he will be speaking at a September 14th event sponsored by the Berkeley College Republicans, which will be footing the $15,000 security bill. Is that the best usage you can think of for 15 grand, just so you can go flap your lips at Berkeley? Berkeley police estimated that more than 4,000 people will attend what were mostly peaceful displays of opposition to Trump's agenda on Sunday. Still by day's end, 13 people had been arrested, one on suspicion of assault with a deadly weapon, and three on battery charges. Some Berkeley officials said they were conflicted over two dueling realities. Berkeley proudly being a haven where free speech can prosper, and the sapping of the city resources when these paroxysms of violence break out. Councilwoman Susan Wengraff said Yiannopoulos was nothing more than a vacuous provocateur, but she was torn about his coming because his debate is essential on a college campus. She wanted to hear from UC Berkeley officials about their plans for the speakers. Because when these events devolve into violence in the streets, the city is left cleaning up the mess. I wish they would voluntarily decide not to come because we have lots of serious problems like housing shortages and homeless crises, she said. All of this is a distraction, is preventing us from doing the work we need to do. Lynn Hollander Savio, the widow of activist Mario Savio, said she is exploring legal options to stop Yiannopoulos from co-opting her husband's name for an award she suspects he intends to deliver to Coulter. In the spring, the former Breitbart editor announced in his Facebook post that he'd be returning to campus and giving out an award in Savio's name. Mario Savio was one of the students' activists who led the Berkeley free speech movement in the 60s. He famously stood atop a police car after an officer arrested a campus organizer, passionately protesting the ban California administrators had placed on political speech on campus. See, this is nothing new. It seems like we're almost on repeat to a degree of what happened in the 60s. Anyway, a 32-hour sit-in joined by the thousands of students ensued. 3 months later, he delivered a speech before some 4,000 students in an act of disobedience that landed him in a four-month jail sentence. Lynn Savino has also called Yiannopoulos a provocateur and self-promoting without a clear ideology. She accused his announcements to bestow an award in Savino's name as stealing. And that's that for that article. Okay, so we got a few minutes. I got a statement that I wrote. Excuse me. Logic leads me to believe this entire alt-right, Unite the Right movement is just as fake as the paid leftist, communist counter-protesters. Seeing folks coming out of nowhere, allied with Trump, who are leading this joke of a right-wing movement like Yiannopoulos, Kessler, and others leaves me with a few questions. Why are they being given a voice by the mainstream media and the ever-growing fake alternative media like InfoWars? Why are people like David Duke, a man who has publicly denounced the Jewish supremacists for decades now, who participated in the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville and called it a victory, silent on the fact Trump is the most Jewish supremacist allied president in U.S. history? Do we really have any skin in that game? I would seriously question anyone trying to whip people up into a frenzy over any of these staged, managed, fake street brawls that we are witnessing in the media. If you hear someone reacting to these fake events without taking the time to study them, maybe even somebody you look up to, and they are adding fuel to the fire, I would seriously suggest questioning that person's motivations and call them out on their bullshit. I've been hearing much divisionary rhetoric coming from people I used to respect ever since this Trump character began campaigning, and I don't like it. It's time to drop these stupid divide and conquer labels, folks. America has never been a white nation. Under the Church of England, we were a Christian nation, but we shot those fuckers out of here and replaced them with the Bill of Rights, of which the first and foremost article reads as such: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble, and to petition the government for redress of grievances. If you can't handle that, get the fuck on down the road, because you're causing more harm than good. We will have to unite all freedom lovers to bear fruit, but it won't be under the label left or right, liberal or conservative, Democrat or Republican, black or white. We have a powerful tool, a historical document representing our mutual interest in staying free. It is our heritage. We own it. It is the Bill of Rights, people, and anyone in the public arena not advocating for it or undermining it who should know better at this point, well, I would just file them away in the same category as Milo Yiannopoulos, Jason Kessler, and David Duke. If you think I'm wrong about any of this, come on up. I won't cut you off or talk over you so long as you respect me and my broadcast. And that's what I got to say about that. Now, I got a quick article. I didn't post this on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. I didn't really think it was worth it. But it's coming from Yahoo News. It was posted today. It's titled, "London Station Evacuated Briefly After Small Explosion Caused by E-Cigarette, Police Say." And we're not going to really get into the article. But when you read it, the police do not definitively say whether it was an e-cig that blew up or not. But they said they evacuated the whole freaking train station because of it, and had, their armed agents going in there and clearing everything. And to my knowledge, a lithium ion battery is not going to make a large explosion that would make you think it was a bomb unless it was in some sort of a sealed tube where the gases couldn't get out. So what I'm thinking here is it's probably just some sort of false flag event, and they're trying to demonize e-cigarettes. You know, I smoked since I was probably the first cigarette I puffed on. I was about 13, and I smoked up until last October. So I quit at age 35. And the only way I was able to do it was with an electronic cigarette. And if you need any consultation, you can email me, davidmatthewrock@gmail.com. So anyway, lithium ion batteries, you need to be careful of them. They're a lot stronger than alkaline and other types of batteries. You do not want to short circuit them. If you have any of these batteries and they're outside of some sort of battery pack, you need to make sure that the exterior is not compromised, and there's no way that you're going to bridge that negative and positive circuit, because it will basically turn into a rocket engine. And with that said, we've reached our bottom of the hour break, folks. Stay tuned. We'll be back in about 8 minutes.
Old pirates, yes, they rob I. Sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing songs of freedom, 'cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs, redemption songs.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin,
the state of Jefferson.
What I hate is a statesman speaking out of both sides of his mouth. What I hate is a war still going on down in the South. And what I live for is a chance to change a little bit of it all. What I hate is most folks don't seem to care at all. What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today. What I hate is hitting roadblocks on a highway in my way. And what I live for is a chance to change and be everything I can be. What I love someone bright enough to see. What I hate is what I hate, and I always will. What I hate is someone mad enough to kill. What I love is someone with a heart that's really good. Now we can't change the whole wide world. Maybe we can change our neighborhood.
Time to Break Free is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, David Matthew Rock. It is 1:38 p.m. Arizona Mountain Time, and that was Merle Haggard with What I Hate coming out of the break. And I just want to thank him again for that song. Absolutely beautiful song, totally fitting with what we're talking about today. All right, so we got all these articles about immigration, huh? Well, we got another one today. This is posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion. It's coming from McClatchy. Okay, it's titled, Mark Rubio Calls for Temporary Protected Status for Venezuelans. Now, I'll tell you what, temporary, do you believe that shit? Okay, as soon as they're over here, they can travel the whole U.S. and get lost, and they got all these sanctuary cities that aren't going to do anything. Hold on, I'm bumping my mic here. 1 second. Wee. A whole bunch of sanctuary cities they can run to and disappear, and the local governing bodies have all these monies and programs, and the SPLC has created teams of lawyers to help them out. So come on, temporary. How ignorant and stupid do you take us for? Well, you know what? I guess the majority is pretty ignorant and stupid now, are they? Anyway, Washington. Mark Rubio has spent months pushing the White House to expand a temporary program that would allow Venezuelans who have fled Nicolas Maduro's regime to stay in the United States, according to a previously unpublished letter from Rubio to Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and then Department of Homeland Security's Secretary John Kelly. Now, I would say to the people of Venezuela, what's going on in the hearts and the minds of your people that you can't fix it down there? It sounds like you're going to need to completely pull back from your system, and you're going to need to start working on producing things to keep your people alive, and you're going to need to be ready to fight tooth and nail. Take a look at what the Eastern, not that I support the communists or the conflict in Ukraine, but look at what those Eastern Ukrainian communists are doing. Every time their enemy comes out, they take everything from them. They take their tanks, they take their guns. They've even done a pretty good job maintaining the moral high ground. So what's in the hearts and minds of you people? You need to take your country back. You know, one day America is going to be in the same damn position that you're in, okay? So if anything, learn from this Venezuelan bullshit and make sure it doesn't happen here. The letter, dated March 20th, asked Tillerson and Kelly to review the existing conditions in Venezuela and consider granting temporary protected status, TPS, to eligible Venezuelan nationals. Uh-oh, is that a bad thing? Well, they're nationals. Oh, my God, they must hate people and want to team up with Hitler. Oy vey, they're nationals residing in the United States. In light of the ongoing political, economic, social, and humanitarian crisis in Venezuela, it is not in the best interest of the United States to deport nonviolent Venezuelan nationals back to the country at this time, the letter reads. President Donald Trump, who continues to talk tough on immigration, hasn't indicated that he is open to extending the program to another country. Yeah, he's talking tough, but what is he doing? You know, come on, Trumpers, come on up. Get a, call in and let me know. 641-715-3610. Once you're up, 220029 in the pound sign. You tell me what President Trump is doing to stop any of this bullshit. Rubio's position puts him in line with an increasing number of Venezuelan activists and Florida politicians from both parties who want to expand the temporary program, which currently applies to foreign nationals from 10 countries already in the United States. Last week, Democrats Bill Nelson and, ooh, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, oy vey, along with Republicans Lena Ross Lehighton, I don't even know how to pronounce that name, and Carlos Curbelo voiced their support for the program, which would not be a permanent solution for Venezuelans seeking to stay in the United States. Well, I don't know if there's any sanctuary cities in Florida because I haven't really seen any articles on it, but I know they don't have to go too far to find one. I know the SBLC is right down there in the southeast ready to defend them pro bono. In recent days, Jose Javier Rodriguez, a Democratic senator and congressional candidate, along with Democratic gubernatorial candidate Gwen Graham, have also called for expanding the TPS program. Temporary protected status will allow Venezuelans fleeing violence to live and work here legally and contribute to our state's diverse communities until it is safe for them to return home. Graham said in a statement. And I tell you what, where's your balls, Venezuelans? Use them. You know, you probably got more balls than a lot of people, so why don't you just use them? I see you fighting in the streets like idiots. Why don't you get together, pull back from the city, start growing some food, and when anybody comes out to take what you got, you put them in the damn dirt. Use them as fertilizer. Plant a pine tree over the top of them. Rubio has positioned himself as an important voice on Venezuela under Trump as the State Department deals with a downsized staff. He has a meeting between Trump and Lillian Tintori, a human rights activist married to jailed Venezuelan dissident Leopoldo Lopez, and Rubio's vocal criticism of Maduro and his associates led to the Florida senator getting protection from a security detail. Rubio and Nelson hinted as far back as 2014 that they would consider the possibility of TPS for Venezuelans. But the issue has drawn increased attention after Maduro held a constituent assembly vote with the power to redraw the nation's constitution. A few years ago, we talked briefly, and I worked with others to try and bring attention to the TPS issue, said Miami-Dade County Commissioner Jose Pepe Diaz, who represents Doral, the area with the highest concentration of Venezuelans in the United States. Diaz said last week he was talking with Rubio when Vice President Mike Pence came to Doral to speak on the situation in Venezuela about a letter from Miami-Dade Commission to the White House expressing support for TPS. Vice President Mike Pence delivers remarks in Venezuela, Doral, on Venezuela and Doral. Vice President Pence told Venezuelans in Doral that he returned from a trip to a Latin American wow, is that really how it reads? What the hell is wrong with these people? Okay, Rubio literally said, "Give me the letter," as he folded it and put it in his pocket when he was in Miami-Dade last week, Diaz said. With Rubio coming out strong, Nelson coming out strong. TPS makes sense. No, it doesn't, because you got all these sanctuary cities. All they got to do is leave and disappear, and then what's going to happen? Nothing. What are these people going to go back to? Well, yeah, that's the point. Why are you leaving? Stay there and fix your own country. I'll tell you what, I don't care if hell on earth breaks out in the U.S., I ain't leaving. I'm not one of those people that says, oh, I need to run to Panama with my tail between my legs. No, I was born here. I love this country. I will die here. And if the shit gets going, I will die to protect this country. I will die for the rights and freedom of the next generation. I don't even have any kids myself, and I'd still do it. The TPS program is designed to help individuals affected by ongoing armed conflict, an environmental disaster, an epidemic, or other extraordinary and temporary conditions, according to the Department of Homeland Security. More than 120 people have died in anti-government protests in Venezuela in recent months. Well, then don't bother protesting the government. It's a waste of time. Just like we're seeing here in Berkeley. What's the point in going to Berkeley to defend some fake alt-righter and getting your skull beat in? If anything, we need to start pulling back from these major cities, moving out to the country and actually producing things and stop being consumers and get the hell out of their system. You know, just like Merle Haggard said, maybe we can't change the whole wide world, but maybe we can change our neighborhood. And you know what? That's probably where we need to start turning our minds to. Where did I leave off? Yeah, more than 120 people died. Anti-government protests and rapid inflation and corruption have led to widespread hunger and poor medical care throughout the country. You hear that, people? So, yeah, it's time to start producing food. And if you are the type of person that you really can't get out of these major metropolitan areas, you're kind of tied into it, then maybe you should focus on other things like how to fix vehicles, focus on medical, all these things, all the logistical and technical information and everything that we're going to need to be able to fight this fight. If you're stuck in the city, focus on those things. You know, all of us that should be moving out to the country and can move out to the country, we need to practice our skills at producing. And that's not just food. It's also clothing and shelter and every other thing that we need. Everything that our great-great-grandparents used to do, we need to start building those skill sets back up. Even little things like darning socks, like being able to fix the heel of your socks. We need to have these types of shoemaking. We need to have these types of skills under our belt. I'll continue. A petition to the White House calling for TPS for Venezuelans has received more than 125,000 signatures. Any petition with more than 100,000 signatures requires a formal response from the White House. White House sanctions Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and labels him a dictator. The White House announced sanctions against Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro a day after he claimed victory in the country's elections. National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin made the announcement during the press briefing on July 31st. Okay, and that's enough of that article. So yeah, there's another group of people that just want to shuttle into this country. And if they want to disappear, they sure as shit can, because we have set up all the programs, all the accounts, and all the infrastructure to bring in these evading forces. And as I have discussed on previous programs, the number one group of people doing this are the Jewish supremacists. The same people who would not allow any of these people into Israel. The same people who would not allow any Syrians, their neighbors to the north, into Israel. Okay? So, let's see. Is this the next one that I want to do? Hold on just one second, folks. Just want to take a look at the available articles real quick. Yes. Okay, so this is posted at FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com for discussion today. It's coming from Bloomberg Business Week, and it's another one of those articles talking about a universal basic income, okay, which is straight up communism. Nobody should be getting shit for free. That's not how you build an enlightened society. You got to work. You got to struggle. You got to go through the hardships. If you want to build character, you got to go through the fire. You got to get tempered by going through the fire, okay? You hand people a bunch of shit for nothing, and then you're going to have a bunch of know-nothing idiot people. The type of people that are going to, loot stores when the shit hits the fan because they don't know how to take care of themselves. All they know is getting shit for free and they never really owned anything properly, so they have no appreciation for owning a business. If everybody is forced to be in a position where they had to own their own business or work for somebody else because there is no welfare, you would start to appreciate these things and you would start to respect your neighbor because you would be taking a second look. You would say, well, gee whiz, I wouldn't want that done to me, now would I? But when you've grown up as an I want your entire life, I'm not sure your brain's properly developed. So the title of this article is, As Poverty Surges in Italy, Populists Propose a Citizen's Income. With almost 11% of the country unemployed, the five-star movement sees its chance. So apparently this five-star movement is some sort of communist institution. I'm not sure I'll get through the whole article, so I'll make sure I get that out front and center. It's on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com, so you can go take a look. From his perch at a waterfront bar, actually, hold on. We're going to skip the storytelling bullshit and try to get to the meat and potatoes here. That economic malice is increasingly common across Italy, where unemployment tops 11%. And the number of people living at or below the poverty line has nearly tripled since 2006 to 4.7 million last year, or almost 8% of the population, according to statistics agency iStat. Those woes have made Livorno, where the Italian Communist Party was founded in 1921, a petri dish for ideas to help the poor ahead of national elections expected early next year. You know, I got a simple solution to help the poor. Just leave them alone and stop picking their pockets. Simple as that. Poverty will be center stage in the campaign, says Giorgio Freddi, professor Emetrius of political science at the University of Bologna. The populist five-star movement has imposed the issue on national politics. The mainstream parties are being forced to play catch-up. Yeah, okay. Sounds like the Hegelian dialectic to me, where you got your agent on the far left and your agent on the far right, and oh, gee whiz, they just need to compromise in the middle because it's complicated, you freaking peasant. Don't ask too many questions. Five Star is the fastest growing group fueled by anger at the old political class. 3 years ago, and mind you, the Pope was talking about this universal income recently. So this isn't just the communists. This is a big time thing. They're probably going to try and be pushing it everywhere. We had, the guy from Facebook. What's that little faggot's name? I can't even think of it. we had the guy from Tesla Motors and Zuckerberg and, I believe the douchebag from Amazon, they're all pushing this universal basic income BS. Five Star is the fastest growing political group filled by anger at the old political class. 3 years ago, the movement rode economic concerns to power in Livorno, ending 70 years of rule by the communist and other left-leaning parties. The new mayor, a former engineer named Filippo Norgian introduced a 500 lira, $590 monthly subsidy to the disadvantaged. That idea is a key plank, interesting term, in Five Star's national platform, and the group's leaders have promised to quickly implement such a program if they take power. BP Grillo, the former television comedian who co-founded the party, says fighting poverty should be a top priority. A basic income can give people back their dignity, Grillo's blog declared in April. The current government is ignoring millions of families in difficulty. Okay, so let's just stop for a second and discuss
a fiat dollar. It is nothing more than an IOU, and you trade it for time and materials, okay? As long as there's enough of these fiat dollars circulating in any given society, commerce will ensue because people need the basics, okay? So if there is poverty in these communities, there's really only a couple reasons for it. If it's the fault of the people, it's because they're ignorant and they're lazy. What else could it be? Okay? If it's not because the people are ignorant and lazy, then it must mean some sort of outside source or outside pressure is making them poor. And I would be willing to bet, as it is in the United States, it's probably gross overregulation and gross taxation that's making this happen. Even if the fiat dollar disappeared tomorrow, these older world communities have marketplaces where they've traded for thousands of years. And there's no reason we couldn't go back to that marketplace. There's no reason we couldn't be trading gold, silver. And there's absolutely no reason that we can't create our own fiat currency. I believe it was about 2009. For Christmas, I created my own fiat currency, and I handed out as Christmas gifts. And what I did is I printed it up to look like a dollar with my face on it, and I had different denominations for how generous I was feeling to specific people. And what I did was hours. There was like a 5-hour note, a 10-hour note, a 1-hour note, and whoever I gave them to, that's how many hours of my time I would give them. Whether you wanted me to help you work on your car or help you fix your computer, or as in one case, I installed a replacement window for somebody, or and I fixed their siding, okay? So because these people had faith that I would follow through on these hours, it gave that simple piece of paper value. Okay, it's no different than a coupon. This is something that we could use as a solution. And when I look at this problem that we're facing economically, logically, I think they have enough gold and silver that if we had a gold and silver currency reinstated, they could dominate us with gold and silver because they've hoarded so much of it. They could still continue to buy up key infrastructure. But I kind of think that if we, the people, not necessarily the government, but we as individuals start creating our own fiat dollars to make commerce easier so we can have some more high-minded type people out there who are not necessarily producing, but maybe doing more scientific or healthcare type ventures, that these fiat dollars could be used to prop up our society and keep it from crashing. It's something these people in Venezuela could do. Or we could just simply, you know, have larger families like the old world, farm, and then send two or three of our family members to the marketplace every day to trade and gather the things that we need. So there's many ways to skin this cat, folks. And we need to start thinking about solutions, because if all we ever do is sit there and address the problem and complain about the problem, then we're just spinning our wheels. And I'm of the opinion the enemy doesn't care if we just sit there exposing the problem. those who try to implement solutions are the ones that get shot in the back of the head and disappear. You know what I mean? Those who the ones that implement solutions are the ones that don't ever make it on the air in the mainstream. So think solutions, people. Think getting outside of the major metropolitan areas. Think producing. Okay? And with that said, we've reached the end of the hour. I appreciate all the listeners, and we'll be back at it again tomorrow. Y'all enjoy the rest of your day.